2016 is here, which means we're at a crossroad. We're starting a new year. No doubt have looked at some resolutions, thinking about the things that we might would change within the year, and therefore we call it a crossroad. Our text this evening is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, and the title of the sermon has been listed as At the Crossroads. We want to see in our text this evening how Solomon handled the crossroads as he came the crossroads as he came to them in his life, so that we might also know how to handle the crossroads we come into our lives this year. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" It's interesting, as Solomon was here at a crossroad within his life, no doubt having been given all of the great things that being a son of the king brought unto him, now finds himself in a situation in which he is to rule over Israel, God's people. And as our text says, that he is ruling over a great people, one that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. And he had become a king at a very young age, and he knew that he was not old enough or did not have enough wisdom to lead an entire nation. And so he'd come to a crossroads in his life, a place in his life in which he did not know which way to turn. You know, many times people today come to some friend and ask what to do. Perhaps they call a relative that they respect or they look up to and say, "I have this situation in my life, what should I do with it?" Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is that the people that they ask are human and subject to mistakes. We also see in our text that God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And when the situation warranted, Solomon responded to the vision that he had, the dream that he had, and he asked for wisdom. He asked the one who would not make a mistake. He was at a crossroads in his life, and he did not go to his advisors. He did not go to anyone else. He went to God. And he understood that God could give him the understanding that he would need to lead this nation. Oftentimes we pray for the leaders of our nation. We pray that they might would look to God, that they would ask God for wisdom, so that they would make the right decisions relative to our nation to allow us to continue to remain free. Solomon knew that before him was a daunting task, and he wanted to do it properly. So he asked for wisdom. He understood that only God could give this to them. Let's look at some crossroads in our lives, and let us follow Solomon's example. The example that Solomon put before us was that he didn't go to his advisors, he went to God. He didn't go to his friends, he went to God. He didn't go to his relatives, he went to God when he came to these situations. What about the crossroads of temptation? Oftentimes, when we come to the crossroads of temptation, we think about young people. And we say, you know, our young people are being tempted with the ways of the world. That's true. Our young people are easily tempted. The works of the flesh are everywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians churches, or the congregations in Galatia, and he's telling them, as he was given this direction by the Spirit, what the works of the flesh are, and the end result in participating in these things. And we realize and understand that the world is made to look good. It is presented as a temptation before our young people. He writes to them, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now listen, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These temptations are put before our young people. And they say, hey, you need to be like the rest of the world. But according to what Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren, those who participate in such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As we contemplate our young people and the crossroads to which they will come during their growing up years, their coming to adulthood, we must realize it's so easy to get caught up in the wrong crowd. A person's life can be shifted. His direction can be changed by simply beginning to hang out with the wrong people, to participate in things with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. Many a young Christian has been led away from the church because of this very thing. There's a stern warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, one which ought to be heeded by all young people. In fact, by all people. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And it's easy to see how that the influence of one can ill affect others. It's interesting to me that it seems like the stronger influence more often than not seems to be that of the evil sort. You know, young people need to be a good example, and they need to remember God. We can see this in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. The warning that was given and the admonition that was there is one that needs to be followed. It said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." If, when we are young, we are supposedly most impressionable, and if indeed we are directed properly, we should remember God, as this passage tells us. We also need to realize and understand that older people are not past temptation. Sometimes people think that older people aren't tempted. But that's not true at all. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, we see a passage about older people. I read this passage a number of times over the years, not really understanding what it meant, and then somebody brought it to my attention. And the particular part that I'm going to talk about, or going to say something about, you'll realize why I now pay attention to it. It says there, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." And I often ask myself the question, and ask other people the question, what is this hoary head? It's white-headed. And some people develop white hair more earlier than others. But that's not the point there. The point there is, if it be found in the way of righteousness. In other words, the older people are also to withstand temptation. Like the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you have to resist. The older person is the one who honors God. Again, another passage that talks about the hoary head is Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. When they come to the crossroads of temptation, it says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God." The best way to fear God is to do His commandments. to show that you love Him, that you want to serve Him. And then when we come to the crossroads of life, we will say, what would God have me do? What is the best decision relative to my continued service to God, my faithful obedience to God? If we look at it from the standpoint of the world, when we ask the question, what will I benefit? Oh, we might very well benefit in this world, but what will we lose in the process? The saddest part is when a person lives his life for God, or most all of his life, only to lose his soul at the end because of becoming disobedient at the end. As you turn to Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, I'm going to lay out before you a situation. Let's just say that a man became a member of the body of Christ in his early 30s. And he spent all of his life, on up until the time that he was nearing his 80s, in faithful, diligent service to God. And he thought to himself, you know, I've spent all these years serving God. I'm going to rest a bit. I'm going to coast. They look at it kind of like one would look at a job and think, well, you know, I worked all these years, and so it's time for me to sit back and take it easy. The only problem with that is our service to God is to be for the continuation of our life or for the entirety of our life. Two such men who spent a number of years serving God, being faithful to Him, did not resist temptation. And because of this, they did not receive the promise of God. Yes, this happened in the Old Testament, but the principle and the application is ours today. As we come to the crossroads of temptation, what if we succumb to that temptation? Oh yes, we may have served God for many years. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. Notice of the two men of whom I speak. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. We are to resist temptation, whether we are old, whether we are young. We are to stand against temptation. And when we come to the crossroads of temptation, and incidentally, you will come to that crossroad on a daily basis, we are to strive to resist. What do we do when we come to the crossroads of submission unto God? You know that the Bible teaches that we are to all submit ourselves to God. That's our whole purpose being here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. There's a passage that tells us this. It is in fact prefaced by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Oftentimes people have pointed out, you know, the word duty there was supplied by the translators. It's in italics. It's italicized. Well, read it without it in there. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. When we come to the crossroads of submission to God, we're talking about when we come into a situation in which we can choose to serve God, or choose to serve ourselves, or choose to serve some other thing. What are we going to choose? In fact, if you stop and think about it, that's what a crossroad is. We'll leave here this evening. There's about five different ways I can go home. When I leave here, I'm more than likely going to pull out of the front drive, and I'm not going to turn to the right and go around the circle and come back, because it's just a waste of time, a waste of gas, and that sort of thing. But once I get down here to the stop light or the stop sign, I can go a couple of ways there. I will have to make a choice at every crossroad I come to as I go home, and the same as we go through life. We also have these crossroads in which we ask ourselves, can we do this and be in submission to God? What if we go through this life and we say, you know, I've done those things that God has asked of me. You know, He says that we're to be in services. I'm in services. He says we're to give of our means. I give of my means. And when I meet upon the first day of the week, I partake of the supper. Well, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Our submission to God is not just the bare minimum of what He has told us to do. Those people there in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 find out that they were unprofitable servants. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I look at the word duty, and according to Thayer, it means to be under obligation, to be bound by duty or necessity, to do something. I think that the purpose of us being here, the whole of man, fear God and keep His commandments, is because God wants to know that we want to do this. We shouldn't be at services because the Bible says we have to. We shouldn't give of our means because the Bible says we have to. We should do it because we ourselves submit ourselves to God. Where God sends, we are to go. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we see what the Lord said for us to do. He said unto His disciples, and we, being children of God, are His disciples, but He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we think, well, we don't have the means, or we don't have the whatever it takes to be a missionary. We can still go. We can still teach. We can still preach. We can still baptize folks. Because what follows is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Those who are taught are those who have the opportunity to be baptized. What do we do when we come to the crossroads of where we are to go? I suspect that we should be as Isaiah was in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. If we want to be in submission to God, if we want to make the choices at those crossroads so that we might be pleasing to God. In Isaiah 6, 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. All too often, the people of the church spend a great deal of time looking for someone else to carry out the work of the church. Say, well, let me find somebody that can handle that. Instead of doing it themselves. Instead of saying, here, let me help you. In all things we are to submit ourselves wholeheartedly to God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, we're told this. And whatsoever we do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. I wrote an article one time, and it's about this particular passage or the idea that is conveyed in this passage. There are so many people that are wanting to get through this life doing the bare minimum, doing the least that they can do, or as I entitled the article, just enough to get by. We go through this life, and we do just enough to get by. Perhaps we do it in school, and we get by. Then we do it with our jobs, and then we get by. And then perhaps we do it with our marriages, and we get by. And we think, you know what? When it comes to service of the Lord, what if I do just enough to get by? Well, I've read through the Bible a number of different times. I've spent a great deal of time studying and reading it, and I have yet to see a passage that says what is the bare minimum. Think about that. We are to submit ourselves wholeheartedly to God. And the only way that we can submit ourselves to God is to do the things that God says to do. And I want to point out three things in this sermon. Three things that we need to look at as we face the crossroads of this life. First and foremost, deny ourselves and follow Christ. And you say, well, I'm already doing that. Are you really? In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, we find a situation. We see that there were those who followed Jesus, and He called the people unto Him with His disciples. He said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I wonder how many people on that day and how many people on this day really understand what that means. What does it mean to deny myself? Have a conversation with someone this evening or have a conversation with someone through the days of this week and find out how many times you hear what they want. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way people think. But if we deny ourselves and follow Christ, we will see that we will put Him first. And we will do as Christ said in Matthew, there in, I think it's chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We will see that we will be putting Christ first. And when we arrive at the crossroads, whatever they are and wherever they are, we'll make the right choice. We'll put God first. We'll put Christ first. Secondly, we're to leave God's Word as it is. And now, those of you who know me knows that nothing aggravates me more than when people take the Word of God and they twist it up and they change it and they make it say something that it's not intended to say. And we know that when people have changed it, they alter the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 is one of the passages that people should read and understand, and it goes in conjunction with Revelation 22, and we'll go there in a minute. But the people of God were told not to add to the Word and not to take from it. Specifically, ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. It was important that they do so. Why? So that they make the right choices. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, we find the same thing. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Listen, if we change the Word of God, we then begin teaching a perverted gospel. And when that happens, we no longer can make the right choices. We no longer can, when we arrive at the crossroad in our lives, we no longer will submit ourselves to God because we will not be following His Word. And next, we should love God and keep His commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Remember, Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Rather than ask the question, are you keeping the commandments of the Lord? Let me ask this question. Do you love the Lord? How do I know that you love the Lord? It should be evident. Because we should keep His commandments. And if we keep His commandments, it's because we love Him. And we'll make the right choices as we come to these crossroads. There in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, we're told what the love of God is. We're also told that these commandments are not too hard to follow. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Remember the people who heard the sayings of Jesus and said, these sayings are too hard? And they no longer followed the Lord? You know, there are folks today that are taking that same position. But there's another crossroads that they will come to. It's a crossroads that all will come to. And we need to ask this question. What do we do when we come to the crossroads of death? Now that's a choice you're not going to make relative to when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But know this, that it is going to happen. All of us, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, are going to die unless we're alive and remain when the Lord returns. That passage, one that should be familiar to us, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We might very well also go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and following. We can see the question was about what about those who have died before the Lord came back? What of them? The Spirit has Paul write these words, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we will not go into heaven before them. They will not go into heaven before us. Verse 16 says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But know this, the choices we make now will determine where we will spend eternity. You know, the 23rd Psalm is a comfort to us. It's often read at funerals. It's because someone has come to that particular crossroad, that crossroad of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When it comes to death, oftentimes people look at it with fear, and should, but the Apostle Paul didn't. We see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through verse 23, that he did not look at death with disdain. He knew that this was a crossroads that he would come to, and that he would have already made a choice relative to that. He says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In fact, he knew that when he got to that crossroad, that the choices that he had already made in this life would determine which way he would go at that crossroad. He says, But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet while I shall choose, I walk not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Of course, we know that he stayed as long as the Lord would have him stay, to work with the churches, to continue to teach. Why should we not be afraid of death? The Lord took the sting of death away for us. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55. We see this is talking about death and the victory, the great victory that was had because Christ died for us. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We might very well lie up under the sod for some time. Our physical body may have gone back to the elements, but there's victory in death. Victory over this world. And the Lord showed us this. We need to make sure that we are ready for death. As we often point out, James chapter 4 and verse 14 tells us that we do not know when our life will end. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. What does that say to us? What does that indicate to us? It indicates that as we come to these various crossroads in life, that we need to be ready at all times. People say a lot of times, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to make preparations. We need to do so now. Matthew 25:13 tells us, Watch therefore, for you know not neither the hour or the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If we're ready, it will not make any difference when we die, because we'll be ready to die. How many times at the death of a young person have people said they died too soon? I'm going to tell you something, and this is a fact that you can find supported in the Word of God, that if a person leaves this life not ready to spend eternity with God, they died too soon. It doesn't matter if they're 12 or 22 or 92. As we come to the crossroads of death, let us always be ready so we will not have to worry about death nor the result of it. What shall we do as we come to the crossroads of temptation? As you go through this life, you're going to have temptation. It's as certain as life itself. It's in fact been with us since the very beginning of life. What are we going to do when it comes to the crossroads of submission to God? That also is a crossroad that you'll come to daily. And what are we going to do as we come to the crossroads of death? Let us always be faithful, and we will not have to worry about what road to take, which direction to go. It has already been well marked for us. All we need to do is follow God. Part of following God and part of making that preparation so that as we arrive at the crossroads of life, we make the right choice is to be in submission to Him and be obedient to His will. The Bible teaches for a person to become a child of God that they are to do some things. One is to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Secondly, a person is to believe. In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Also, Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, one is to repent. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Knowing then that one hears the word, believes, and repents, they are to also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then one is to be baptized into Christ. That's what Peter told those people on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's when the sins are taken away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Following this, one will continue to come to crossroads within their lives, but they are to live faithfully until death, serving God, submitting to His will. 2 Peter 2:20 tells us that if one has escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and is again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. However, God has also provided for those that find themselves in this state. It's through repentance and prayer, sometimes referred to as the second law of pardon, Acts 8:22. You're at a crossroads tonight. You may not be a child of God. You may never have heard before what one must do in order to become a child of God. If you desire to sit down and talk about this, or you desire a Bible study, be glad to sit down with you. But you're at a crossroads. Make the right choice. Perhaps you, as a child of God, have allowed sin to come into your life. And because of this, you need to know that if you, in that particular situation, you have made a choice. And that choice has put you in separation to God. You need to come back through repentance and prayer. Tonight, as we sing our invitation song, we've chosen, I surrender all. You're at a crossroads. Are you willing to surrender to God? If so, won't you do so as together we stand and sing this invitation song.